But first, electronic personal assistants. These little voices are eager to assist in most smartphones, but now they are appearing in our homes too, in items such as speakers and lamps. There was even a recent announcement of a partnership with a car manufacturer. So the big question is, will we spend all of our time talking to gadgets? Tech expert and angel investor Peter Cowley joins us. Hi, Peter.
Hello. Hi there, Tom.
To start with, what kind of things can these virtual assistants do?
Yeah, a little bit of background. So historically, these devices where you could talk to and they reply have been around for about 25 years on PCs. They moved on to smartphones about 6-7 years ago on a variety of smartphones. Voice activation cars have actually been around about 10 years as well, but conversation or the ability to talk to the cars just started. So sort of things you can do, you can ask it facts, you can switch on music, video, you can do some shopping, you can control your home, you can add entries into your calendar, etc. Lots of things, yeah.
You've brought one with you along to the studio, so we're actually going to test this out. I'll leave it over to you.
Yes, Tom. So we spent a bit of time before the show just trying to work out what to ask it. So let's just try a few things. So first of all, we'll say, Alexa, who discovered gravity?
Gravity is a discovery by Isaac Newton.
Nice.
Another one. Alexa, how many kilometres are there in a light year?
One light year equals 9,460,700,000,000 kilometres.
And just one final one, and I won't try the long one. It'll work out the factorial of numbers, and if I put down 200, we'll be here all evening. So let's have a smaller number. Alexa, 12 factorial.
479,001,600.
I like the choice of maths questions, considering we're doing a maths program. How did these things actually work then?
Yeah, this is complicated. I mean, the biggest thing of all, first of all, is speech recognition. I mean, there are 6,000 or 7,000 languages. There are 40,000-odd dialects. These things basically only work with a very few languages. In fact, on one of the products from one of the tech companies, it's only just moved away from English to German. So it's speech recognition, and the recognition will depend on how big the vocabulary. So if you've got a vocabulary of 10 words, say 0 to 10, it's probably right every time, but it gets up to... The English language, say, is 70,000-80,000. It's probably only right overall about 60% of the time. So it's a speech recognition. Then on top of that, it needs to answer. And so it needs to understand what you're saying. So it's not just the individual words, it's together. And of course, until conversation comes in, it can't re-ask the question another way, which is the way that we're communicating at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you've got that, the speech recognition, et cetera. And then, of course, it needs an internet connection. But it needs to go off into the cloud to work out what the answer is.
And what about the way it links in with data? So I've heard an example of, you know, if I had told my personal assistant that I need milk, it would pop up and tell me when I went to a supermarket.
I haven't heard that. But yeah, we are moving to that. That geolocating advertising will hit our phones before long. So as we're walking along, we'll be reminded to pop into that pizza place because they've got discounts on. The beer issue, of course, is privacy and people are worried about that. So they say, and I'm pretty confident it's true because I've tried it, because if you disconnect from the internet, it will wake up, but it won't know anything. So it's recognising the wake word. But once it's actually woken up, it's then connecting to the internet. And you've then got to trust in the way that we're trusting with our phones about the amount of data floating around, our location, everything else. You've got to trust the system for not misusing that data.
Should we be worried about this sort of privacy angle, the fact that these things seem to know so much about us?
Personally, not. I mean, it depends on, if you're really worried about that, then don't have a smartphone. Don't go and live in a, you know, an encampment in Papua New Guinea or something. It comes down to trust. It comes down to governmental trust and tech company trust about that. Now, as we referred before, we had a program on Naked Scientist about Apple not releasing data about a phone that were involved as a crime. These tech companies are very keen not to be seen to be leaking data out or giving data to security services.
And what about the future? As I sort of mentioned in the queue, will we be spending all of our time just talking to our gadgets?
First of all, we've got to have conversation. Now, conversation, as I say, is talking. And there is a Cambridge company, actually, was sold to Apple a couple of years ago called Vocal IQ, which is part of it. So until you can actually converse with it, chatbots they called, then we're not getting anywhere. But that will be around quite soon. And then you can be using, I mean, the elderly might use it for company, they might used it for teaching children, and then we'll start to use it more than we do at the moment, and to the point really where we might stop using our fingers on smartphone screens and we will talk to the device and it will respond to us. And a bit like, you're far too young, but HAL on 2001 A Space Odyssey was a good example, and that goes back to 1969, that film.
Yeah, definitely far too young for that one. Thank you very much there. That's Peter Cowley.